Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Colossians chapter 3, finishing up section verses 1 through 4. Remembering that Colossians chapters 1 and 2 contain the doctrine of our completeness in Christ. That Christ is complete with all of the fullness of God, and we are complete in Christ with all of the fullness that God has for us for salvation and the sustenance of our life. Therefore, the question, and it always follows Paul's pattern of teaching to present doctrine, that'd be chapters 1 and 2, and then the lifestyle and life of the believer in the second half of his teaching. In chapters 3 and 4, we have the duty of the ones who are completed in Christ. We say duty because that comes up. If we are complete in Him, what responsibility do we have? Is there a duty for us to perform? These are all presented as spiritual and all interactive in our relationship with Christ. So the priorities of the believer, first of all, are presented in verses 1 through 4. This is not legalism. This is heart, mind, response, relationship to Christ. The priorities of the believer, first of all, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the premise and principle upon which the priorities are presented is, if therefore you were raised up together with Christ. The word if is what is called the first class condition assumed to be true. Since, therefore, you were raised up together with Christ. Another one of Paul's phrases that describes salvation. Because the believer, spiritually, has entered into Christ's death and His resurrection at salvation. When He died, we died. He not only suffered the punishment for our sins, but He died our death. And as He was raised from the dead, spiritually, that's what happens to a believer in Christ. A person is raised from the spiritual dead, energized by the Spirit of Christ Himself. And then He says, if therefore you were raised up together with Christ, then you are to be continually doing two things. These are what are called the present imperative, present tense meaning continuous action, imperative being a command. Be continually seeking the things above where Christ is sitting in the right of God. So the first command is be continually seeking the things above. This is motivation. We have motivation for everything that we do. We are seeking something in everything that we do. He says, be continually seeking the things above, specifically where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Be seeking for your motivation what Christ wants. And then secondly, be continually minding the things above, verse 2, not things upon the earth. So motivation, first of all, let your motivation be seeking the things of Christ. Let your meditation be continually minding the things above, not things upon the earth. The word minding or thinking is this word phrein or phroneo that has to do with the frame of mind. It does not mean the individual thoughts. It means the direction or flow of thoughts. And so he's telling them that in the midst of decision-making in life, you are, all of your thoughts are to flow to the things of the Lord. We have many decisions to make each day sometimes. We are to seek, our thoughts are to flow towards the things of the Lord and to be under the frame of mind of Christ. We saw from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the same word that's used for let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean individual thoughts. It means your attitude, your direction of thought, your philosophy, your approach to life. Let it be the same as Christ. His approach to life was to give up himself. As we said the first hour, give up his reputation. Give up his glory, even though he left that behind, he's still deity. He didn't force that on anyone. He didn't make that a point at time when he came this first time. So let this mind be in you. Have the same attitude. Have the same philosophy. Have the same approach to life. And as you get involved, as your mind gets involved in the decision processes of life, let it flow. Let your thoughts flow toward the direction of Christ. Meditation. What are we thinking on? What are we meditating on? Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to not be being conformed to this world, but to rather be continually being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The word mind there is the word nous for perceptive abilities and capacities of the mind. So be continually renewed. Be renewed with God's thoughts about the situation. What does God say? Be continually seeking and meditating on the things of the Lord. Seek His thoughts. Seek His way. So be continually focusing and having your thoughts directed to the things of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. So he says, be continually seeking the things above. Today in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the explanation as to the reason to be continually seeking and to be continually minding the things above. Three things. First of all, he says in a statement, the reason why you are to do this is for you died. The word died is what is called the aorist tense in Greek. It's a single event that happened in the past. And so he's marking out that as a point of salvation. The moment you were saved, you died. Say, well, wait a minute, I'm still alive. Well, the word death means separation. So the moment that I received Christ, I died to myself. And I'm alive to Christ. I have become a new creation, and I'm joined with Him for salvation. I died. And I now have a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. I've died to the old things, the old way of doing things, because I died to myself. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I have this new life. And I died to myself. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified. I no longer live, Paul says. It's Christ in me. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, his philosophy of life is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. His life was Christ. So I have a new life. As he said in verse 1, since we were raised up together with Christ into a new life, the life of Christ and his resurrection, when that happened, I died. That's why what we shared with you the first hour in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 is so important. That all of us, like the sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's the biblical description of a sinner. Going one's own way. But now that I have received Christ, he has come in to take over. That act of salvation of receiving Christ is me surrendering to him. It's like, as the Bible says, that I was hostile and his enemy, and it's like you surrendering to your enemy that is that you're fighting against. That enemy is not going to just go away because you've surrendered. They're going to come in and take over. That's what Christ does. He sends his Spirit and he takes over. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. So he comes in and repossesses his creature, his creation, and puts a new life in us. But as far as my relationship with myself, as far as my relationship with my old way of doing things, I died. As a continuous reminder, I remind others and others remind me. Oh, I just don't like that. Well, that doesn't matter because you died. You don't exist. Your humanness, your human nature still functions, but you died. We have to understand that when Christ died on the cross, not only did he suffer the punishment for our sins, but he died our death. So we were buried with him. In baptism unto death, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, but we are raised in newness of life. For you died, secondly, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. All believers share a common life with Christ. I have been absorbed into his Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. As I've explained in the past, when the Spirit of Christ comes into a person's spirit, it isn't just to dwell alongside of our spirit. He comes into our spirit. He literally absorbs our spirit into his spirit, so that the Bible now says, he is in me and I am in him. We are inseparable spiritually. And this relationship of unity with Him, this relationship of oneness with Him, will be forever. The only difference being that the time that I die, my spirit will leave my body, but His spirit is still in my spirit. In fact, His spirit is taking me out of my body and into His presence. And it'll be that way forever. The very moment that a person receives Christ, they become one with Christ. My life has been hidden with Christ in God. Absorbed, taken in to where I no longer live. It's no longer me, but Christ in me. We are partakers of the divine nature, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My life has become united with Christ. I am now a partaker of the divine nature Himself. And I'm not seen on my own, but I'm seen as being one with Christ. But I'm hidden. In fact, the non-believer, the person that's not saved, I am concealed from him. People might know that I go to church. People might know that I confess to be a Christian. But literally, my life is hidden with Christ. He doesn't understand. He thinks I'm a religious person. He thinks I'm a church person. I tell people all the time, I'm not a religious person. They don't understand that. Well, don't you pastor a small church? Yes, but I'm not a religious person. I don't like religion. Never have been attracted to religion. So the natural man, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of Christ are spiritually understood, not humanly or religiously. Christians are spiritually understood. So if a person doesn't know Christ, if a person's not under the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the non-believer is not going to understand the believer. It'll be concealed from them. So, first of all, you died, our condition. And your life has been hidden with Christ in God. But look at the third thing in verse 4. Whenever Christ, who is our life, should appear, then also you yourselves will appear with Him in glory. There will come a time when we will be revealed, and people will then understand that which has been concealed. We've learned in our studies in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation is waiting for the revelation of the children of God, waiting for them to be revealed. Not Christians, but children of God. The world doesn't know who they are. And I might also add, Christians don't know who they are. There are more religious Christians than there are saved Christians. And someday it's going to be revealed who's really saved and who isn't. It's going to be revealed. But it's interesting, right in the middle of this verse, it says, whenever Christ, our life, should appear. He not only gives life to us and provides his life in us and through us, he is our life. Again, Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He's my life. And again, Philippians 1, verse 21, where Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not for me to live are blessings, or for me to live is to experience the abundance of life. But for me to live is Christ. You see, for the believer, Jesus Christ is life, period. So if we were to ever be asked the question, what is your life all about? What is life to you? Me, it used to be sports. It used to be my life. I would eat, sleep, and drink, sports. The center of my life. Everybody grows up differently. Everybody grows up to the point where they say, I have a certain goal. Again, we're talking about motivation. Seek the things above. Most of the time, we seek the things of the earth. Meditate on things above. Most of the time, we allow the occupation of the mind to be concerned about the things of this earthly life. Let the motivation and the meditation of your life be Christ. Go to him and seek what he wants. For the believer, and we struggle with it for years in our life because not only are we saved and believe in Jesus Christ, but as I said the first hour, we struggle still with going our own way. Period. We can say philosophically, yes, Christ is my life. But humanly, we have to admit, I have other things. Christ isn't the only thing. Maybe he's the most important. That's why the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, where God says, you shall have no other gods besides me. The Hebrew term in there for besides him, it doesn't mean he's first in priority and then everything else is second. It means he is the only one. There are no other gods besides me, which means there is no number 2, 3, 4, 5. And he calls everything else, as we'll see as we progress through Colossians chapter 3, all else to be idolatry. The term idolatry is referencing an image. It doesn't just mean a statue that we put on the fireplace that we worship or pray to, but it can be an image of the mind, an image of a goal, career, or something that we want or something that we want to do. This image is planted in our minds and we pursue it and we chase it. The question is it Christ? Paul says for the believer, Christ is our life. So we are to seek him, meditate on him, surrender to him as the priority of our life. There's only one for the believer. One priority in life. That's Christ. So if I were to have to ask myself on any given day, what is your life about today? What are you seeking? What are you meditating on? As decision-making comes up this day, where are the direction of your thoughts going to? Is it directed towards Christ? Are you seeking him? I would have to ask those questions because I'm presented with the factual statement because Christ is my life. So he's the one I should be seeking, and he's the one I should be meditating on. Pretty simple. It's relationship. We fall into a religious bind when we think that, well, I go to church and I believe and I have my Bible that I read every once in a while. But that's different than Christ is our life. You don't know how many people over the years who profess to be Christians, when you talk to them about a personal relationship with Christ and that relationship is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they say that's being a fanatic. I go to church and I read my Bible, but I got things to do, places to go, people to see. Well, the Bible says that when you belong to Christ, he has come in and he has taken over. And he is constantly seeking to guide us in his path 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because we have a tendency to go astray going our own way. Christ is my life, and he is to be my priority, the one that I seek and the one that I meditate on. The priorities of the believer, the duty of the ones completed in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our Father. Again, for loving us, and directing us and ministering to us and interacting with us, not as religious people here on the earth trying to seek for God, but rather as being your children and you disciplining us to learn to walk with you. You are the Lord of our lives. You are our Savior. You have saved us who are born of your Spirit. We belong to you. Now teach us what it means to have Christ as the center of our life. Teach us what it means that Christ is our life. By your Spirit, direct us to seek the things of Christ and to meditate on the things of Christ, in order to experience Christ and his peace in us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.